WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. As of today, officially, second half of October. And we passed the halfway point yesterday. 2 weeks from tomorrow is Halloween. And I want to tell you, it all comes fast and furious after that. It really does, because right after Halloween, we have Election Day, and then we have a couple of days later, we have Veterans Day. A couple of weeks after that, it's Thanksgiving, and, we're full-fledged into the holidays. So enjoy the last couple of weeks of relative calm, because it gets kind of crazy after that. It's a fun time of the year, though. Thank goodness the holidays come when they do, huh? Because otherwise, we'd really be bummed going into the chilly weather. We have a little taste of it today. To be honest with you, it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be. I mean, it's chilly, but we've had much more sunshine than the weather folks initially predicted. In fact, first thing this morning, up until about mid-morning, the prediction was mostly cloudy and gray all day. And then they changed it to a mix of sun and clouds, and we've had a fair share of sunshine. We've also had times when clouds have dominated, but the sun has helped, and it helps psychologically. So it doesn't feel quite as chilly as we thought it was going to, and it is going to warm up as we move through this week, a little bit warmer each day. So we're not to the end of summer yet, or summer-like weather at least. Summer's long gone, but not really going into the deep chill. Meanwhile, has anybody seen any significant foliage color? I have not. No, I have not. An occasional red tree, an occasional bright yellow tree, they really stick out because there are not very many of them. And I traveled quite a bit over the weekend, and everywhere I went, it was the same thing. It's just, you come in a forested area, interstate, whatever, a vast expanse of trees, as far as you can see, they're just all green, dull green or brown. There's no color there. Open talk on the first portion of the program. We'll have guests later, but open talk to begin with, 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. We'll be talking a little bit later on the program with Mike Liebler of Connecting to Tomorrow. They have another upcoming Youth Leadership Initiative events. Good stuff. And by the way, they've got their big fundraiser coming up this weekend, too, Trivia Night. I'll talk about that with Mike. And then our final guest today will be a clinical psychologist, Dr. Belisa Varanich. And she says we don't breathe right. So she's going to tell us how to breathe correctly. And, it's not a joke, really. She's very serious about the healthy way to breathe. And she writes about it, and she makes a couple of good points here. I think you'll be interested. So that's coming up later on the program. But, as we say, it is open talk to begin with, 283-2525. So without any further ado, let's get right to the people here today. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yes, Dave. I'm a little concerned.
Yes, sir.
I paid $2.75 a gallon for gas here locally.
Mm-hmm.
I drove up into northern Ohio, and I seen it for $2.25.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that we pay a tax for bridges and roads and so forth, which amounts to 20-some cents. But the 50 cents difference is quite bothersome. And I think I know what's going on. There's no competition any longer. And one person decides what the price is going to be on that particular day. Am I correct in this?
I don't know a lot of the inside info about it. I have felt for years that we get jobbed by the oil companies, and I've had people call and debate me very politely and saying that I'm wrong. But look at before Hurricane Harvey hit down in Houston. You remember that? That was the first of the three bad hurricanes, Harvey, and then Irma hit Florida, and then Maria hit Puerto Rico. But Harvey was the first one, and they shut down a lot of the refineries along the Texas and Louisiana coast. And the very next day, my friend, the very next day, the prices around here shot up to, it was close to $2.90. I had one gentleman call me. He said he paid over $3 a gallon here locally. Well, that's over with, you know. The refineries are open again, and it hasn't dropped that much. It's still in the 270s. It was in the 240s, right? Before Harvey?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so what's the deal here? You know, I'm smelling a rat.
Well, yes. Now, I suggest people do what I just did here a little bit ago. I called my state representative, take it to the senator, and make inquiry about that and look into the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we could get a lot of people in the audience to do the same thing and show that there is some, grievance against this, maybe then that maybe somebody will make a telephone call and investigate or do whatever that's necessary to find out what's behind this.
Well, I realize that we have a higher tax, and by the way, I was not opposed to that tax. I think Tom Corbett was still the governor then, Republican, and he got that through the legislature, even though a lot of local lawmakers voted against it around here. But I've seen the results. I mean, we've had a lot of new bridges and new roads, roads resurfaced and bridges built, so I don't complain about that. But why is it so much lower in Ohio?
I mean, yeah, they have bridges too, don't they?
Yes, and it's right across. I mean, you can be in Ohio in an hour, actually, if you take the interstate, probably a little less. I mean, it's right next door, and it's enormous, the difference in Ohio. I don't understand. If we were next door to Texas or some, you know, huge oil-producing state, okay, I guess I could understand that, but it's Ohio. It's the same as we are, for goodness sakes.
Maybe Pennsylvania's the trial state. We put that tax on us. Now the president and legislatures are talking about federal roads and bridges and so forth.
I've heard that, yeah.
Now, if that was to happen, would that their tax go on top of our tax?
Yeah, yep. That's the way I understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a federal tax. I don't know what it is these days, but they claim it hasn't been raised in many, many years, and I don't know. But the bottom line is, let's face it, the oil companies can set whatever price they want to. We have to pay it. What are we going to do? Drive to Ohio every time we need to fill up?
No, we do like all the other places. We complain. We march or whatever's necessary. Yeah.
Well, just let me make sure I got my numbers right here. And you said you paid, goodness gracious, I've lost the note already. You paid $2.25 in Ohio, or you sought for $2.25?
No, I filled up down here. I didn't, in order to make my little trip, and I didn't have room for any gas when I got there, and I should have went up there and been empty.
So it's $2.75 here, $2.25, 50 cents a gallon less in Ohio.
That's correct.
Unbelievable. Thanks, my friend, for the call. Good to talk with you.
Sure.
Sure. So long now. I feel his frustration. We talked about the right after Harvey. I guess I was railing a little bit about the fact that immediately the price rockets up to $2.90 a gallon. I mean, it was overnight. Dealers around here, they didn't pay that price for the gas. They didn't. That wasn't shipped in overnight. They bought that gas a long time ago. But anyway, I had people that, you know, they weren't, they didn't call me an imbecile, but they said I didn't quite understand the whole thing, and then probably I don't, but it's frustrating. It's frustrating. I have not been to Ohio. Oh, gosh. I haven't been to Ohio in ages, but it is when you cross the line and you see your first gas station and you say, holy moly, look what they're paying. Wow. By the way, since we last chatted, and that would have been tail end of last week, of course, on Friday, the announcement came out of Washington about what Social Security recipients are going to get in terms of an increase in benefits this year. Have you heard? Did you? Yeah. They released it on Friday, so, you know, they kind of, I guess they kind of hope that it goes away. I mean, People don't notice too much. It's a 2% hike. Those of you who are on Social Security, a 2% increase in benefits. That means for the average person on Social Security, it's about $25 a month increase. $25 a month. Now, I don't know how that shakes down with many of you who are on Social Security in terms of Medicare premiums, your Medicare insurance going up. I've had some people say in past years that any increase, however meager, in Social Security gets wiped out by the increase in the Medicare premiums. So, I don't know. 2% increase, by the way, is the biggest one in 5 years. So, I guess you've got to be happy with what you get, huh? It hasn't been as high as 2% since 2012. 5 years. Yeah. So we'll see. It's all based on a cost of living adjustment. And over the past 8 years, that COLA, C-O-L-A, cost of living adjustment, has averaged only about 1%. Now, if you go back 10 years before that, it was averaging about 3%. So if you were on Social Security, you were getting a little more of an increase. This year, 2% hike. And I guess that takes effect in January, is that right? Those of you who are on Social Security, is that when it kicks in? First, makes sense, I guess. When else would it be? Well, of course, the federal budget year goes from October to October. I would imagine it kicks in January. So you're getting a little bit of an increase anyway. Yeah. As long as we still have Social Security and Medicare. I saw that AARP, the Association of Retired Persons, is mounting a campaign urging members of AARP, and most folks get a letter from AARP when they're 49 years old, urging them to join up when they hit 50. And they're urging their members to write to their members of Congress, their congressman or their congresswoman, to protect Social Security and Medicare. President Trump pledged to protect them when he was campaigning last year, but I don't know. Campaign promise, he's broken many of those already since being in office for, 9 months now? Almost 10 months, actually, yeah. Late January, January 20th, whenever Inauguration Day was, right around there. So it's almost 10 months. Trump is beginning to use a lot of executive orders. He ripped Barack Obama up and down for using executive orders. Now he's doing it most recently at the end of last week on the subsidies to help the poor people pay for their Affordable Care Act premiums. Slicing them down. We'll see. Guess it's a little different when you get into office, huh? 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Open talk on this segment of the program today. I want to thank a listener, I'm going to use Carl's name because we were talking last week. I was talking about, I can remember as a kid, and I was a little kid. I don't remember how old. I mean, I was pretty small. I was at that age where certain things happen to you and they stick in your mind forever. And they're like, I mean, you may only have been, 5 or 6 years old, but it's vivid in your mind. I have no idea how old I was. But on occasion, not every year, but for a few years in there, our family would go to a Christmas tree farm between Foxburg and St. Petersburg. up along the Allegheny River. I don't know whether there's still a tree farm there or not. I have no idea. But I had mentioned that, I can't remember for sure how we got talking about this, but it was a spotter building up there, an observer station, where people watched for planes. I guess we were talking about North Korea. And that's what it was, because the people in Hawaii are quietly preparing just in case there's a missile attack from North Korea, and who knows? They've got missiles that can reach Hawaii already. But anyway, that led us to talk about this. And I wasn't sure what they were called. I just remember it as a kid. I was actually up there. We were getting a Christmas tree one year. And one of the people who was a spotter was in the building, and he must have known my dad, and invited us in. It was almost a hut. It was a small building. It looked a little bit like a lighthouse, like the top of a lighthouse, except it was set on the ground. But it was all glass around it. You know, so all windows the whole way around. And then it had this, some kind of a parabolic microphone or something on the roof to capture the sound of planes going over. And they had the windows all around, the binoculars there and everything. And so anyway, I get this email coming in early this morning, actually. And thank you so much, Carl Jackson, who... said he was listening last week. I think it was Friday we were talking about this. He said, I was in my car. I didn't have my cell phone. I wasn't able to talk to you whenever you brought this up. You were talking about, and I'll read from Carl's email here. You were talking about the little building on the American Legion grounds. I'd forgotten that that's what it was. I can still remember my dad calling it the Legion Farm. American Legion grounds between Foxburg and St. Petersburg. I was in my teens and was involved. I was a volunteer. It was called the Ground Observer Corps. Wow. What great information, Carl. It was called the Ground Observer Corps. Don't know if I still have the pins I earned and the instruction book or not. He says, we thought the Russians were coming any minute at that time. And, that's the way it was. It was at the height of the Cold War, which continued until Ronald Reagan's presidency, so a long, long time. I mean, it calmed down a little bit, but there was a period in there that you never knew. And we actually had observer stations. I didn't realize they were manned by volunteers, but Carl, who sent me the email, says he was one. I don't think, does it say here where Carl's from? Obviously, he's from that area up around St. Petersburg, Emlinton, or somewhere. Well, anyway, thank you, Carl. He also gave us some information on railroad cars, because we were talking about the wheel works here in Butler last week, where they made wheels for rail cars. So anyway, thank you, Carl. I'll share the information about the rail cars. I have some other plans. Hello? This is it your turn? Hello?
Dave.
Yes, hello. Boy, I've got a lot of static.
About plane spotters. My sister and I were plane spotters.
Oh, really?
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, where did you operate?
Where we were located is going out towards Chicoro, you know, where the Butler Water Works is.
Yes, I know. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a road opposite of that. And that's where the spotter used to be when we would go.
Now, were you up on a hill in a little hut or something?
Yes, up on a hill, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it was very interesting. They were supplied with everything we needed. And to me, I thought it was great because my sister was 7 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked if I would like to help. And it was interesting.
Now tell me, because my memory, I'll tell you the only thing I remember, quite frankly, and I remember this vividly, the spotter who was in there was demonstrating to my father, apparently, how this worked. And he went outside of the little hut, and he picked up a couple of pieces of gravel, like a handful of gravel,
mm-hmm.
And he tossed it up on the roof. And you, I mean, it sounded like an earthquake because they had that, you know, that microphone up there to amplify sound, and just a couple of little pieces of gravel, really tiny pebbles, really. And it sounded like an earthquake. And that just stuck in my mind as a little kid. You know, it was like it was yesterday.
You had to learn an awful lot. You had to learn about all the planes and the make of them and so forth.
That must
and
be
every
what
so
the...
often, an inspector from the area would come around to make sure that we had everything we needed. And I think we used to go like on a weekend.
I see.
Because I was still in school, but my sister wasn't.
Now, did
that was really an experience.
Do you remember, did your sister write down if she spotted a plane, or was there a telephone in there that she called somebody, or do you remember how that worked?
She would write it down, and if there was a plane that she didn't know and wasn't in the book, then there was a number that she was to call.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is just fascinating to me. Just fascinating.
Yes. Well, yeah, so we thought we did our part.
Well, thanks,
my
friend. To
me, it was more fun than anything else.
Well, sure. You were a little sister at the time, right?
That's right.
And I'll bet your big sister appreciated having some company all by herself in that little
hut. Well, you know, it would get lonely up there all day long.
Absolutely.
Because we would be up there from sunrise to sunset.
My goodness. Well, doing your part for the government.
That's right. But I wanted to tell you about that. You were talking about it the other day, and then your guest came on, and then you mentioned it today. So I thought, well, I'm going to call because that was a long, long time ago.
Do you happen to remember even what decade? I mean, was it the 50s or the 60s?
Well, it was. I was still in school, and I graduated in 43.
Oh my! So they had these
So I was still in school.
Well, they must have had these a long, long time then, because I wasn't around then. Well, if they did the job, they did the job, you know.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, thanks
for... And it was taken very seriously.
I thank you for taking the time to call in. I'm just so pleased that I've been able to scour up a couple of people who were involved in this. That's terrific.
It was an experience.
Yeah. Hey,
thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Thanks. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was not a very good line there, folks, but I left it go because it was such a good call. I mean, it was just fascinating to hear, and I know there was some interference on there, but I'm sure you could understand it. So that's two people now, and I just kind of mentioned this out of nowhere. In fact, I'm not even sure what brought it into my mind. Now we have two people who were involved in the Ground Observer Corps. Ground Observer Corps, and I had no idea that it went back, I guess it makes sense, World War II, it makes sense, although, boy, World War II, you know, the only people that we were at war with was Germany and Japan, and I don't think they had any planes that could get this far as I know. I know Japan didn't. As far as I know, Germany only had a couple of instances of even getting German spies on the U.S. territory. There was one, and I was reading about this fascinating story. I think we might even have had a guest who talked about this some years ago. It was a German submarine that launched a raft or something with the six or seven guys on it, and got in as close as Coney Island. They could see Coney Island through the periscope, launched these guys, and they landed in the New York area, but they were quickly apprehended. 283-2525, our number, open talk. Let's go back to the phones, 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello, Dave.
Hi.
I was calling about the observing for airplanes.
Yes.
I had a cousin. I don't know enough about this. Maybe I shouldn't be calling, but I had a cousin during World War II that did that in Freeport. She went up where there's now a park up there, a lobby hall and a park.
I know where it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On top of the hill in Freeport. And I can remember her talking. I don't remember details, but I remember her talking. Her husband was in the war, and she went up there and did that at Freeport.
Hmm.
That was in World War II. I don't know if I said that or not.
Yeah, you did. You did, yeah.
Okay.
So this obviously continued then for 20-some years anyway, into the 60s, before they discontinued the program. Now, this place that I was familiar with, when I was a little kid, I was up there a couple of times getting Christmas trees. It was high on a hill between Foxburg and St. Petersburg. You know, that's high above the Allegheny Gorge, so they selected high points for these observation huts.
Yes, this would be high up over the hill from Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it went on down there. She only spoke about it during World War II, so I don't know if it continued or not either, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Well, the gentleman who emailed me this morning about this, Mr. Carl Jackson, said he also had a book, which must have been an identification book, you know, kind of like you see in the old World War II submarine movies, where you'd see, they'd see a ship through the periscope, and they start digging through the book to, you know, to see what is it, the battleship, cruiser, destroyer, whatever. They must have had an identification book for planes.
I remember vaguely my cousin saying something along those lines, that they had, you know, they could tell the difference between friendly planes and non, mm-hmm. and planes that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. So they had information in front of them also.
Now, keep in mind, of course, that this is before the age of jet aircraft. I mean, they didn't even have jet fighter planes in World War II, for example. That was something that came that was developed later. They were working on them, but they didn't have them. So most of the planes at that time were much more low-flying planes, you know, that would be audible and visible. Today, you have a passenger jet aircraft fly overhead. Unless there's a contrail that, you know, that picks up the sun, you don't even know it's up there, you know.
Yes.
6 miles up, there's no noise, there's no nothing, you know.
And I don't think there would be nearly the air traffic back then.
Oh, that's true, true. Oh, and well, for goodness sakes, they didn't have radar either, at least civilian, because that was just developed for the Army during the war.
Yes.
Or the Army Air Corps, I guess. There was no Air Force. So once radar became more widespread, that's probably what led to these observation huts being phased out. You know.
Could well be, Dave.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about this until I heard you talking about it, and then I recalled her talking about this when I was young.
I had forgotten about it myself.
Okay.
Thanks, my friend. Thanks.
You're welcome, Dave. Sure. Thank you.
283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. There are sites online on your personal computer, your laptop, that you can track planes by radar. Every plane that's in the air. It's a fascinating sight. In fact, there's a couple of them that I look at occasionally. It's fascinating. Okay, another call here, 283-2525. Hi, caller, this is Dave. Go right ahead, it's your turn.
Hi, Dave, this is Mike Liebler with Connecting
Mike.
To Tomorrow.
Hey, I thought it was going to be you. Hey, listen, can you hang on a second, because I've got to take a break here. And
sure.
When I come back, I'll be chatting with you, okay?
Sure, my pleasure.
Sure, that's great. Just stay where you are.
I'll
walk in there, and we'll be ready to go. We'll take a quick break and be back to talk to our first guest on the program today. He is Mike Liebler of Connecting to Tomorrow. We have an upcoming Youth Leadership Initiative event we want to talk about. Also, Connecting to Tomorrow has a big event coming up this weekend, too, so stick around for that. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Miller's Shoes. Today's the last day for their anniversary sale, 125 years. They've been serving the Butler area, that's right, since 1893. 20% off their entire regular stock of athletic shoes. Today's the last day. They're open till 5 this evening. 5 this evening. Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street, downtown Butler. 20% off the entire stock of men's and women's and youth athletic shoes. 20% off all Rockports, 20% off Trotters, 20% off Timberland shoes and boots. You know these names, right? These are good shoes. 20% off. They have hundreds of pairs of men's shoes. Florsheim, for example, select group, $70. Their value is to $140. They have a select group, hundreds of pairs of ladies' shoes, values to $99, $30. So today's the last day as they celebrate the start of their 125th year, anniversary year. Miller Shoes, 215 South Main Street, downtown Butler. They're open till 5 this evening.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, friends. Our first guest for today is Mike Liebler. He visits with us on the telephone here on It's Your Turn. Mike is the founder and the executive director of the group Connecting to Tomorrow. Mike, I'm glad you're able to join us for a little while here today. Good to talk with you again.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dave.
There's another youth initiative group event coming up that we want to make sure people are aware of. Maybe we should start out by explaining just what the Youth Leadership Initiative group is all about.
Sure. We started the Youth Leadership Initiative back in April of 2016. At the time, Dave Zarnick is Butler Township Commissioner, sits on the Board of Directors for the Butler County 4-H, and his wife also sits on our Board of Directors. And they had saw the value in our two organizations coming together to form a group that could help the youth collaboratively in our county. And so after we have met and we invited a couple other organizations to join us, Stand Tall, as well as Justice Works Youth Care, and now Adagio Health has just joined us. And so we put on three different youth leadership initiatives each year. And we started back in June of 2016 was our first one. And at that time, we just did a general leadership skills building type of event. And it was very well received. We had over 50 kids join us, and they had a really great time. They get a free meal while they're there, as well as peer-led workshops on leadership. And we had our presenter was Commissioner Kevin Boozle at the time, and he did a really wonderful opening presentation and got the kids really excited and motivated about this. And then last October we did one with on drug and alcohol prevention about people, places, and choices. And we brought in a BMX stunt group that did their show down at St. Paul's Butler Catholic School gym back, and it was very well received too. And the kids pick up some very valuable knowledge and skills to help them learn how to become leaders in our community. And then last April we did a career fair, and we had well over 100 kids join this one, and over 30 some vendors that were involved to help with the kids learn about the different career choices, and also if they chose to go to a college path or something like that. So they had a lot of options that they could choose from, and I think it was very helpful. And this event coming up, which is on Tuesday, October 24th, the theme of this one is called Truth or Consequences, and it's about building positive relationships. And it's kind of an anti-bullying prevention program that we're trying to help kids learn to have the skills to cope with people that may say the wrong things to them or are bullying them, or even the kids that become the bullies, how they can try to change their behavior and build better and more positive relationships. And we have our keynote presenter is Benoit Kihumbu. Ben is a really great presenter. He grew up in the Congo. And when he was 18, he came over to the United States and went to college, earned his bachelor's degree, and since then has earned his master's of leadership degree at Geneva. And he will give a presentation about how he was bullied when he grew up and the different type of skills and how he had to cope with that and just how he presents with people now and his gift that he can give back to help people that are going through these same different issues in schools and just have those coping skills to maintain and build a better positive relationship. So we're really excited about him coming and joining us.
Is there a charge for kids to attend this event on Tuesday, October 24th?
No, it is free and is open to all the kids in our county that are age 12 to 18.
And that's a week from tomorrow, right? I mean, yeah.
Yes.
And where's this one going to be?
It'll be at St. Andrew's Catholic Church up on North Main Street Extension, 1660 North Main Street Extension.
That's just north, Route 8 just north of Clearview Mall, really, yeah.
Correct, yes, about a half mile on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with where that is. If you're not, the church actually sits back a ways. It's certainly visible from Route 8, but it sits back a ways from the highway. You can't miss it.
No, it's very easy to get to. There's a lot of parking, and they have beautiful grounds up there and everything. And it's just wonderful the church let us use the grounds and the building and everything to put this on for the kids. Father Nick is really good to us.
There's no charge, but do you have to register? Because, I mean, there's food involved here, so.
Yes, because we do provide a meal with the program and everything, and like I say, it is free, but we do ask everybody to RSVP so we can get a head count on how much food to have available, and they can call at 724-431-6025 to register, and we ask if you can register by October 20th. That'll be great, and like I say, it's for any student age 12 to 18 in our community.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, we're talking with Mike Liebler. He's the founder and still the executive director of Connecting to Tomorrow. When you first started this youth leadership initiative idea, didn't you team up with the Butler County 4-H? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, they are part of us. Butler County 4-H, Stand Tall, and Justice Youth or Justice Work Youth Care is part of us as well, and now Adagio Health has just joined us.
Okay, so you're still teamed up with the 4-H program?
Yes.
Okay.
They're very active. They're all play a very vital role in putting these on three times a year. So it's
now this is boys, young men, and young women too, right?
Yes. All young or boys and girls join us, and they. Parents starts at 5 p.m. and we'll run till 7:15 p.m. and we ask the parents just to drop them off and pick them back up at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. But the kids really have a great time. Like I say, that they make new friends and they learn a lot of different leadership skills trainings and drug and alcohol prevention, communication, social skills, interviewing skills, and we've even done some budgeting things with the kids. So they really learn some good things to help them whenever they going to graduate from high school and move into the adult world and make their own decisions and things.
Now,
choices.
Some kids have come before. That's still okay to come again, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, because each event has a different theme.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't get the same information each time. They may see the same faces, but they'll get different information each time.
How did you happen to snag presenter Ben Waki Humbu? That's a pretty good get.
Yes. Actually, I've known Ben for about 7 years now. He and I have become friends. He runs out of Pittsburgh, a nonprofit organization it's called the Bon Samaritan, and he works with a lot of youth in the Pittsburgh area doing the anti-bullying training, as well as he teaches a martial arts program. Ben has a five-degree degrees in black or black belt degrees in judo.
Mm.
So He works with a lot of youth in the Pittsburgh area, and we've been fortunate enough that he agreed to come up and join us up here. He really gives a good presentation, and the kids really respond well to him. So we're pretty excited about having him join us.
We're talking about the latest event coming up a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, October 24th. This will be the next in a series of events sponsored by the Youth Leadership Initiative Group for young people in our area. This is for all communities in this region, Mike, Butler County. You don't have to be.
Yes.
It's not just for Butler kids, right?
Right, right. Yeah, no, anybody from Montauk, Carson City, Slippery Rock, Seneca Valley, Cranberry, Mars, wherever we can. I mean, even if somebody comes from Allegheny, we're not checking IDs or anything, so they're welcome to join us.
Mm-hmm. So this started last year. You've had three of them. This will be the fourth one in the series?
Yes, yes, and they keep on growing each time, keep on getting bigger and better, I think. I think we have a really good program and just helping the kids learn a little bit of skills and have some fun while they're doing that.
Truth or consequences is the theme, coping with bullies. Boy, this is in the news a lot these days. We realize, I mean, you know, there were bullies back when you were in school. There were bullies back when I was in school, Mike. But it's more than just, you know, some big guy pushing people around these days. There's all sorts of bullying. From what I understand, one of the worst for teens, preteens and teens, is cyberbullying, where they get shamed or called out online amongst all their friends and get very embarrassed and so on and so forth.
Yes, yes. And it's the unfortunate part about the with the cyberbullying, the social media, that people can hide behind a computer screen and just blurt out words and type whatever they want to, put people down and things like that. And actually during this, in the workshops parts of our program, we're going to be doing the Net Smarts, which is about online safety. So the kids are going to get a presentation and some different skills to help them with that.
Kids just have to learn, well, adults have to, too, for that matter, that, boy, social media can be great, but it's suddenly causing a lot of problems, whether it's in our meddling in our elections or in all sorts of other areas. You just have to realize that people can be anonymous. They can be totally someone else from who they pretend to be. They can start all sorts of fake rumors. And it's not like in the olden days where if you had a bully that was causing problems, you could eventually go up and punch them in the nose. You don't even know who those people are.
Right, exactly. And it's pretty scary because you don't know who you're going to be meeting, who's behind that computer screen and things.
Yeah.
So it is pretty scary.
I wouldn't want to be that age again.
No.
Quite frankly.
It's funny because you don't see many kids going out down to the neighborhood end of the street or something and putting a kickball game or a tag football game together or something. You rarely ever see that anymore.
You know, it's funny. We were just talking about that this summer, about, I don't remember exactly how it came up on the program, but you used to see kids in the summertime when school was out, they'd be heading to play baseball somewhere. You know, you'd have a glove hanging from the handlebars of the bike and a bat. You know, you could put a bat, put one end under your handlebars, the other end over your handlebars.
Yes, I remember doing that too.
We lived
that
way.
Those were great times.
Yes. When's the last time you saw that?
Right. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen anything like that.
Listen, I want to talk a little bit while I have you on the phone here. I have some more questions about this program because obviously it's been terrific and it's continuing to grow. But your group, connecting to tomorrow, you have a big fundraising event coming up this very weekend.
We do. We have our annual trivia night, and that'll be on Saturday, October 21st. Excuse me. And it'll be held at the Lindor American Legion Hall. And the doors open at 6, and the games start at 7. The tickets are $15 each, and you can have anywhere between 2 to 8 people per your team or tables. And we have some tables still left. So the tickets are available. You can get them online at Eventbrite. You can go to our website, connectingtotomorrow.org, to get them. Or you can call us at 724-431-6025, and we can hold tickets for you at the door.
And this is an event. I've been to a couple of them earlier. It was started out as, these are adults competing here. Is it still a BYOB event, or has that changed, Michael?
No, it's still a BYOB event, and it's for 21 and older because it is a BYOB event, mm-hmm. and everybody that comes has a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a tremendous amount of fun.
It is.
Competing, and sometimes when the competition gets pretty heated toward the end of the evening and you got two or three teams that are vying for the title,
right?
The yelling back and forth between tables sometimes gets pretty funny.
So. Yes, yeah, it's pretty exciting to watch that happen. Even whenever I hear the questions, I'm thinking, boy, I don't know the answers to these, and then the different groups, they know them. So it's
well, that's the thing.
You get share others' knowledge.
Get a group together. You get somebody in your team who's a sports nut. Somebody else who knows music or something like that, and you never know. And who among us doesn't watch Jeopardy or some of the other games, and say, well, wouldn't that be fun? Well,
right.
Here's your chance, Here's your chance to compete at the local level. So it is fun.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about that, believe me, folks, it's not wearing a hair shirt for an evening just to help connecting to tomorrow. It is a whole heck of a lot of fun. And helping a good cause at the same time. Where can you get tickets again, Mike?
People go online to connectingtotomorrow.org, or you can call us at 724-431-6025, and we can arrange for to reserve some tickets for you, and you can pick them up that night at the event.
We're talking with Mike Liebler. Mike, stick with us for a couple more minutes here. I have to take a quick break, and I want to talk more about connecting to tomorrow, because there are some people who have heard us mention your group now several times and are wondering, what the heck is that group all about anyway? Well, where do you hear, folks? It's pretty good. Hey, one of our sponsors on the program today is Goan Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. By the way, I have to go up there because I've got a package to go out. That's what they do, folks. They package items for shipping. They package your items for shipping, and you can ship it any way you want to. FedEx, UPS, United States Parcel Service. They also have other services available. They're located right behind King's and Villa Grande Restaurant off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane right there, right behind the two restaurants. They, in addition to shipping, they have copying service available. They do scanning, faxing. You can rent a mailbox there. They have custom boxes, greeting cards, lottery tickets, an official notary. Sometimes you need that when you're mailing something out. It has to be notarized, right? Right. Do it right there. Here's a phone number. You can find out more about their services. I never heard of a place like this until Goan Postal Butler came along. Phone number is 724-841-0044. 724-841-0044. Your neighborhood-friendly shipping center. Goan Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane, just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. They're in the Shockey Mini Storage area. We're talking with Mike Liebler. He is the founder and the executive director of Connecting to Tomorrow. We've been talking about an event that they've got coming up, actually a couple of them in the not-too-distant future. But we haven't really talked about Connecting to Tomorrow, Mike Liebler. Give us, our listeners, a thumbnail sketch about just what your group is all about.
Sure. Connecting to Tomorrow, we started in 2011 to help Butler County teens become more motivated about their future, how they're going to succeed in school and complete school, and whether they're going to take a college path or they want to go to straight into an employment path. And so we created a mentoring program to help them get excited about this, get excited about their future, and start thinking about it instead of when they're 18 and thinking, wow, what am I going to do with life? And so we work with young people from 12 to 18, and we have three different mentoring programs. The one is first one is called A Better Me, and that's for 12 to 14-year-olds. And mentor and about motivation, getting excited, thinking about your future, thinking about what do I want out of life, where do I see myself several years down the road. And then they also talk about respect and values, and we also have a bullying piece in there. And then for the 15 to 18 year olds, we have two programs. One is called Money Manners, and that is about your financial independence, learning how to handle your own budget, how to handle your own bank accounts. What are the differences in bank accounts between a bank and a credit union? Also about credit card safety. They can be good, but they can have some issues that you can become involved in later on in life if you're not too careful. So we teach about that, and then the next program is we call it the Worked Up program, and that is working with learning how to complete job applications and how to look for work, how to be a good employee, to have a work ethic, how am I of value to my employer. And we also do interview skills and mock interviews. We invite different community leaders to come in with us and actually do a 5 to 10 minute interview with the kids, because a lot of times it's their first time they ever get to interview. Mm-hmm. So it's an advantage over those who go into work the first time and meeting an employer and not really sure how it's going to go. So the kids get a good preparation through it. And a lot of the kids, as they go through the program, they want employment. We have four different business partners in the community that they have an opportunity to get a job through. So that's a nice advantage. And all the kids that go through our program, they all get a resource kit. They will have a lot of different information that they can retain and keep for the as they go through their early years and into their adult years. As well as the kids that complete the Worked Up program, they get a money that goes towards interview clothes, or if they need clothes for work, a uniform or something like that. So we provide all that for them.
It's so,
one of the other things, I'm sorry.
I'm just going to talk about interview, how important that is. Even something as simple as appropriate dress, you know, when you go for an interview. I mean, many adults might say, well, who wouldn't know that? Well, believe me, a lot of kids don't. I mean,
right.
A lot of kids these days, they live in jeans or shorts and T-shirts. That's pretty much their entire wardrobe. And, you know, look at the way kids are going to and from school, folks. I'm not making a judgment, but that's their common way of dress. And they may not realize that if you want to make an impression on a potential employer, you better look pretty sharp when you go in, because that's first impression, right?
Right, right. And last week we just had one of the young people asked our mentor, if I go to an interview wearing sweats and a T-shirt, is that okay? So it's good that he asked that question so he could learn.
Yeah, it's an innocent question. That's what I was trying to point out. It's not, you know, these kids aren't stupid. It's just they've never been told that you're in a different ball game now if you expect to, and even... I don't know. Do you ever have the opportunity for kids to practice interviewing with their peers, just, you know, kind of to know what's going to happen, even if they're just kind of faking it? I mean, that would be a great value to so many people.
Yeah, we do the mock interviews, and actually we've been fortunate that different people from the community has joined us, and they go into a couple of the different schools and into our mentoring groups, and they will do, like I say, a 5 to 10 minute interview with the young person just so they can get their feet wet and learn what it is to interview. It's like I've been working the past 30 years, so I haven't interviewed as long as they have, if not longer. I'd have to brush up my skills.
I tell you, I could have used that initially, because just the feeling of, you know, what it's like to still try to carry on a conversation while your palms are sweating, or you know, you're nervous, or
right,
whatever. I just do that a couple of times. And by the way, for connecting to tomorrow, you said you have several different mentoring groups. Who are your mentors, Mike? Who does that work?
We have a lot of different mentors from the community. We have two of our county commissioners, Leslie Oshie and Kevin Boozle, are two of our mentors. And then we have Lexi Cupps, who works in the social service field. Kathy Froyland is a nurse. And Mary Beth Rock, she actually runs a neat little dog-sitting program that she has offers, so she comes even from the business end. So we have people from all different walks of life to be a mentor. It's just being someone that wants to care about, to have an adult relationship with a young person, give them a little bit of guidance. So we have people that volunteer different things that And in fact, on November 7th, we have another free event coming up. It's an etiquette dinner. And again, it's for all students 12 to 18 years old, and it's free. It's going to be held at St. Peter's Church on Franklin Street from 6 to 7:30, and they will get a five-course meal. We ask each of the kids to dress up in the best that they have. We're not looking for tuxedos or black tie affair, but if they were going to go for a job interview, it's kind of what they'd want to dress as. It's a no-judgment zone. And so they will get a five-course meal, and our presenter, Nedra Casey, will be leaning or teaching them along the way of the proper etiquette. So it's a really neat thing. We started last year and had about 25 kids, and so we're looking for it to grow, and it was very impressive. I was very pleased with it.
How do kids get into the program? Must you be invited, or can you apply, or how does that work, Mike Lieber?
Yeah, anybody can be referred. We've had different from the faith-based community, from different social service agencies, from parents, from the schools. And they can go online, again, at connectingtotomorrow.org, and there is a link on there to complete our referral form, or they can give us a call at 724-431-6025, and we can help get them set up through that way.
By the way, connecting to tomorrow, in the middle there, that's the numeral 2, right?
Correct.
Connecting to tomorrow, if you're hunting for them online. How often do the kids who are in the program get together?
They get together at least every other week, sometimes more frequently. It depends on the mentor's schedules and the kids' schedules, because we try to make them as flexible as we can. And we have the groups. They're not like all meeting in Butler or something like that. We have groups that meet out in Slippery Rock, Carnes City, down towards Cranberry. So we go to different areas, different corners of the county, so people don't have to travel 20, 30 miles for this each week. So we try to meet in their neighborhoods.
And the kids meet in groups, do they, Mike?
Yes, at least a group of two with up to maybe 6-8 students at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good stuff. I'm sure there are a lot of listeners saying, man, I could have used something like that when I was that age. That's great, too. Do kids enroll in the program for a year or two or as long as they like, or how's that work?
They usually make a one-year commitment, but we've had a lot of kids that really enjoy the program, so they sign up for another year, and they been pretty successful. Like I say, the kids really enjoy it, and we try to throw some fun activities. It's not all just learning the curriculum and things. We throw in some different activities and a few field trips here and there as well.
And did you say that you formed the group Connecting to Tomorrow back in 08? Did I hear you say that?
Back in 2011.
2011, okay. I copied it down wrong. Is there a charge for kids who are in the groups?
No, it's all a free mentoring program. There's no charge, and we try to provide a little light snack and everything for the kids as they come and stuff. We try to make it as comfortable and as fun as we can. It's just not sitting in a classroom trying to learn. They're interactive activities throughout the whole program. So
we're learning more and more how valuable a mentor can be. Someone that's it's not the same as a parent now. It's different, and it's not the same as a strict disciplinarian, guard or something like that. It's somewhere in between. It's a mentor, and we're realizing more and more how valuable they can be to young people, especially at that age, right, Mike?
Yes, they can be make a world of difference to a young person and help in shaping their future and things like that. It's sometimes we look whenever we're talking with kids or something, we want to make a big difference. But sometimes it's those little differences that we don't see right away that make the big difference down the road. So it's just like I tell our mentors that the curriculum is important, but the most important thing is building that positive relationship with the student and having an adult, a trusted adult that they can rely on, that they can share things with that they may not share with somebody else.
Yeah.
And just sharing that information is really, really important.
Okay, a quick summary for those who weren't with us at the beginning of our conversation. Maybe you just jumped into the car. The Youth Leadership Initiative Group, which is comprised of what we were just talking about, Connecting to Tomorrow, 4-H of Butler County, Stand Tall, Doggio Health, and the other one was what? Justice Works for Youth. Is that it, Mike?
Yeah, yes, Justice Work, Youth Work Care.
Yes. So they've all teamed together, and they have three of these events each year. They started it last year. This will be the first one this year. And it is Tuesday, October 24th, which is a week from tomorrow. Again, the particulars, Mike Liebler, this is for ages what?
Ages 12 to 18.
And although it's free, there's a dinner involved. The kids get to, they get to eat, so they need a head count. And how do you RSVP if you think this would be great for your child?
Yes, please just call us, 724-431-6025. And so all we need is the child's name and age and if they have any food allergies that we need to be aware of.
And call by October 20th. The event is Tuesday of next week, the 24th. Takes place at St. Andrew's Catholic Church, Route 8, just north of Butler, just north of Clearview Mall. And the theme of the event coming up next week is Truth or Consequences, coping with the bullies in a number of different ways. There'll be a presenter, there'll be food. It's a nice evening for the kids. What, a couple of hours, you said, right, Mike?
Yes, starts at 5 and we'll be over by 7:15.
It's good stuff, Mike. Thanks for chatting with us today, and it's nice to learn about this. It's comforting to know that you got groups like this that are doing the best they can for these kids. That's good to know.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure. So long now.
Bye-bye.
Mike Liebler, the founder and executive director of Connecting to Tomorrow. Okay, we need to take a break here, and then our final guest of the day coming up. We're going to be talking about breathing, how to breathe. Now, don't laugh. This is, you might say, what do you mean, how to breathe? Everybody knows how to breathe. Do you know how to breathe correctly? Our upcoming guest, Dr. Belisa Vranich, says most people don't. So she'll talk to us about that, how to breathe properly and better, and how that might help for better health, too. Okay, and we'll be talking with her coming up in just a moment or so after these words here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR.
At the best of times, being lonely can be dispiriting. But when you're grieving because of the loss of a loved one, you need someone to talk to be with. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique, sensitive program called Someone's Caring. It's meticulously designed to help ease the emotional pain, to fill the gap when you're lonely. Men and women are invited to attend, and yes, men too are realizing it's okay to express their feelings at a small group setting. We've held hundreds of sessions in the last 20 years, have helped hundreds of folks to cope with their feelings. We have five programs: a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, for those who have lost a pet, for individual sessions. They're conducted by our own trained bereavement specialist, Robin S. Miller. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706. 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Listeners, wait till you hear what we're going to be talking about on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I think you'll be intrigued. My name is Dave Malarkey, and our guest on the next segment of the program is Dr. Belisa Vranich, and we're going to be talking about how to breathe. Are you kidding me? Yes, how to breathe. Details forthcoming. First of all, Dr. Belisa, nice to meet you. Boy, it's terrific to have you with us here today.
Hey, how are you? It's really nice to be here.
I'm just grand. You have developed a program to improve mental and physical health by breathing better. I'm correct on that.
Yes, exactly. I know it sounds a little peculiar, but we do it so badly that it's actually having a lot of repercussions in our physical and mental health. And if you want to take your health back and not need as many prescriptions as I'm sure most people are taking, it's a good way to get off a lot of medications and be able to feel better.
Dr. Belisa writes about this, listeners, in a book entitled Breathe. A little bit about our guest. Dr. Belisa is a clinical psychologist. She has made a career of retraining people on how to breathe correctly. Well, let's just start right there, for goodness sakes. We breathe automatically. It's one of those things that we don't have to think about. At least, I don't think so, right? It's one of those muscles.
No? Well, a lot of people think I must be breathing okay because it's something that happens naturally. However, we have actually picked up so many bad habits and warped it that it's not working for us anymore.
Oh.
So what's happening is that we do usually breathe really well up to the age of 5, and then bad habits, stress, bad posture, all kinds of things influence the way we breathe, and we end up in our 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s breathing in a way that's anatomically not congruous with our bodies.
Hmm.
So we're actually breathing with muscles that aren't meant to be breathing muscles, and the repercussions are really interesting. And I have to tell you, I say the word interesting because I wasn't always a breathing coach. I actually was a child psychologist for a very long time, and I found that when I started looking into how people breathe in different sports and how we should be breathing given our anatomy, that we weren't actually doing the right thing. And as I taught my patients how to breathe using the right muscles, they started feeling a lot better. So this was sort of a voyage of discovery for me as well. And what I found is that digestive problems, back pain, and problems sleeping were three things that really got better right away. And believe me, Dave, I was surprised because I did not think I was going to be going from having a practice, a clinical practice, and being a child psychologist to teaching people how to breathe. This was not, you know, in my story, in my future. However, here I am, and I'm doing it because I'm actually finding that people get better, that they can get off prescription medicine that they may not want to be on or may not want to be on as much of, and that they can take back their health. And that, to me, is just a fantastic and very satisfying mission.
Well, I am prepared to be surprised as we chat today, and I can certainly tell you straight away that I am intrigued. And, you know, the more I think about this, just as you were chatting there for the last moment or so, and I can't remember from my health class. I mean, it's ages ago, but there are muscles that we use that we consciously move, you know, biceps, triceps, whatever. Heart muscles, different. We don't think about making our heart pump. But breathing is kind of like halfway in the middle, isn't it? I mean, we breathe unconsciously when we're asleep, but when we're awake, you can certainly breathe differently. I mean, you can control your breathing, right?
Yes, and unfortunately, that's actually been bad for us because we've taken a breath that usually when we're breathing is pretty okay, and we've actually changed it because of social pressures and, like I said, posture and other things I'll talk about, and made it be something that's not as good as it used to be and is actually really affects us to a large extent. And breathing, you're right, it sort of is, it's automatic and it's conscious and unconscious. So it's kind of like blinking. You could blink when you want to, and you also blink when you need to.
Exactly.
So it
crosses,
it's kind of funny. Yeah, it crosses both things. But when we do have control over it, and if we've picked up a bad habit and it's been ingrained 10, 20, or 30 years, we've started to breathe in a way that makes no sense and actually hurts us. And then, like I said, you end up with digestive problems that you blame yourself for, and back pain that you think you have to, you know, just live with, and then sleep problems that are completely baffling. And a lot of it goes back to the breath and your nervous system.
Hmm. I'll talk about something else in just a second here, listeners, but I want to, if you're thinking to yourself, do I know this person? Dr. Belisa, have I heard her before? You may have. She's been on, CNN, Anderson Cooper, Fox, Today Show, Good Morning America, Inside Edition, Wall Street Journal, Cosmopolitan, all these places, and more than that, too. So, yeah, maybe you have seen her or heard her before. Now, this is something that intrigues me, and you just mentioned it a moment or so ago, Dr. Belisa. You said we pick up bad habits. So that would indicate that at some point early in life, we are breathing correctly, even if we're too young to realize it? We'll talk about that
exactly.
A little bit.
Okay, so not as babies. People always bring up the idea of, like, babies breathe with their bellies, and babies have no choice. They don't have a choice about a lot of things, and they certainly don't have a choice about how they breathe. But if you look at a 5 or 6-year-old, they're actually breathing in a way that I call horizontal, which means they sort of puff up in the middle like little fish, and then they exhale and they narrow a little bit. And if you look at every single animal on the planet, this is how they breathe. And this is how we breathe under the age of 5 and 6. We actually expand in the part of our bodies that's where the biggest part of our lungs is. It makes, you know, we're really well designed before we go mess it up. So inhale, the middle of your body expands, and exhale, it contracts. So when you look at a 5-year-old, that's how they breathe. Now what happens is that you start sitting. You go to school around that age. You start sitting. Your posture changes. Then as adults, you know, we sit an incredibly long amount of time. It's actually, research tells us between 13 and 16 hours a day we spend sitting, which is a terrible posture to be breathing in, internally rotated shoulders, forward head posture, and just a position that's not good for a big, deep breath. You start sucking in your gut because you either feel like, oh, that helps you feel more prepared because you're bracing your belly, or you're sucking in your gut because you'd like to look thinner, and you've looked at your parents, and they're sucking in their guts, and everyone has this V-shape where your abs are, you have this six-pack of abs, and you have this thin little waist, so you end up bracing the middle of your body. And the problem is that horizontal, beautiful, perfect horizontal breath has nowhere to go but up. And it ends up being up by your collarbones. So then we end up being what's called a vertical breather. And if you check yourself right now, you probably are a vertical breather, and it's not your fault, and we can fix it. But if you check yourself right now, come away from the back of your chair, because you're probably leaning on it, we all do, and take a big deep breath in and fill all the way up, you'll find that you sort of look up towards the ceiling, you stretch your neck up, you actually move your shoulders upward, and you take this vertical breath. And on the exhale, you sort of settle back down and come back down to earth and sort of feel more sturdy. So that breath where you're going up and down and up and down is called a vertical breath, and that's the one that makes absolutely no sense given our anatomy.
Listen, I told you this was going to be intriguing, didn't I? Listen, we have to take a quick break here, but fortunately, more time to talk with our guest, Dr. Belisa Varanich, author of Breathe, which provides a step-by-step program to help people breathe better. A quick break, and we'll be back to pick up our conversation in just a moment. Oh boy, folks, the peanut brittle is available now. Right now at Cummings Candy and Coffee Shop. Main Street, downtown Bolino. Cummings, of course, the red and white awning. They've been there for a century. My, my. And the peanut butter was not available all the time. Oh, my. Mouth-watering. You have not had peanut brittle until you've tried the stuff at Cummings. Believe me, it's available right now. Also, we're getting closer and closer now to the holidays. If you have gifts to get out, they have corporate orders available of custom gift boxes to give to clients. You can choose from an assortment of chocolate-covered chips. I've given those. People have just marveled. They've gone crazy over them. Chocolate-covered potato chips. I know. They're fabulous. From Cummings. Also, chocolate-covered pretzels, graham crackers, cherry cordials. How about adding a half-pound bag of Butler's own proprietary blend of coffee, the Main Street Roast from Cummings, roasted right there at the Main Street location. If you want more information on those corporate orders for the holidays, call Barry Cummings, 724-287-3287. Serving the Butler community since 1905. Three locations now, Main Street, of course, downtown. Also, Cummings has a location at Butler Memorial Hospital. And the newest, Cummings West, on Route 68, Evans City Road, out by the Farm Show Grounds. Open 7 days a week. Cummings, candy and coffee shops. Ooh, wow. Peanut brittle. We'll be back to talk more with our guest about breathing correctly in just a moment. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back. If you're joining us a little bit late on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR today, No problem. My name is Dave Mularkey. Our guest visits with us by telephone. She is Dr. Belisa Varanich, clinical psychologist, and for the purposes of our conversation today, the author of her latest book. It's called Breathe, and it provides a step-by-step program to help people breathe better. So as we left off before the break there, you described very carefully vertical breath. I'm sure I wasn't the only one who was doing it as you were describing it. And then you said, this is just exactly the wrong way to breathe, given our anatomy. So talk a little bit about the correct way to do it, Dr. Belisa.
Sure. I want you to look at your dog, your cat, your fish, your goat, whatever it is that you have. I want you to look at the way any animal on the planet breathes. Like, you may have a cat. Take a look at your cat right now, and you'll see that none of these animals breathe with their shoulders. None of them breathe up and down like we do. And if you do, you have a very extraordinary pet, and you need to go on late night TV and bring that pet there for other people to see, because it just doesn't happen. We are the only beings on the planet that will take a beautiful, perfect breath, which is expanding on the inhale and contracting on the exhale in the middle of our bodies, where the biggest part of our lungs are, and we put it up by our shoulders, where we have actually not a lot of lung tissue. It's not the densest part of our lungs where the most oxygen exchange is. We're overusing our neck and shoulder muscles and using them as primary breathing muscles when they were never meant to be primary breathing muscles, hence a lot of neck and shoulder pain. And we're stressing ourselves out. And that's where, for me as a psychologist, this gets really, really interesting, which is that you have a nerve called the vagus nerve. And we've been hearing a lot about the vagus nerve. It's V-E-G-U-S, not A-S. It starts at the top of your head, and it sort of looks like a large octopus that goes all the way down your body, all these tendrils. Vagus means wanderer in Latin. And it picks up where you're breathing from. So, Dave, if you're breathing with your shoulders up and down, it automatically takes your heart rate and makes your heart rate higher, your blood pressure higher, your cortisol, which is a stress hormone, higher, and your immune system lower. And this is all without you knowing and with you thinking, oh, I have, you know, I'm calm today. I've got my lavender candles on. I've got my comfortable shoes. I've got my calm music. But if you're breathing with your shoulders, your vagus nerve hears that you're in fight and flight. So it really doesn't matter what's going on around you. You're telling your body neurologically that it needs to be very alert and in this fight and flight situation. Now, when you go and switch to a horizontal breath, so you take that breath that's up by your shoulders and you put it at your middle, your vagus nerve bypasses your shoulders and goes, oh, Dave's not stressed out. This is good. Let's just keep him alert but calm. And your heart rate comes down, blood pressure comes down, cortisol comes down. And that's when you're breathing right by the bottom of your ribs. So if you take your hands and put them at the bottom of your ribs in the front of your body, that's where you want to be breathing from.
Hmm. What about, this is fascinating to me, what about health effects? If you can train yourself and you have the step-by-step program to do this, to breathe correctly, can that be helpful in terms of your health? I mean, people that don't sleep well or, I don't know, high blood pressure, any of this stuff, are there any beneficial effects?
Absolutely. So it's not just that you're getting more oxygen in your body. We actually have a fairly decent amount of oxygen in our body, which is set up that way. But what you're doing is you're breathing. The way you breathe is the cornerstone to your health. So you can be doing all kinds of things, going to the chiropractor, taking your medication, you know, having your juices, doing all these things. But if you're not breathing right, all those other things are not going to be working as well as they should, which kind of leaves us baffled and disappointed with our own bodies. And the fact is that the inhale and the exhale and the place in your body where you take it from, your style of breathing, is the most important thing you can do for your health, period. The most important thing. So what you'll find, and everybody is different, is that at least two or three things will happen, but definitely at least one. Acid reflux feels a lot better, goes away once you start breathing with the middle part of your body, and I'll let you know why. Back pain does as well. Your ability to sleep and stress. Now, if you're wanting to meditate, I can teach you to meditate as well, but at least those four medical problems actually get a lot better very, very quickly.
Sleep, acid reflux. I was writing. I missed the other two.
So sleep, acid reflux, and anything having to do with your digestion,
okay.
Back pain, and stress.
Okay, okay. A couple of questions occurred to me. When we're sleeping, so for most folks that would be lying down, do we automatically revert to the natural correct way to breathe, or do we have to worry about that too whenever we're asleep?
Well, unless you snore. If you snore, you have to get it fixed, and you have to do everything you can to figure it out, because snoring is not just snoring. There's actually an obstruction of air going in and out of your body. So that's a whole different can of worms. But when you're sleeping, you do actually revert to a horizontal breath, but it's more because you actually can't take a vertical breath. If you think about it, it's hard to breathe up and down with your shoulders when you're lying down, because you have the friction of, you know, whatever surface that you're on.
That makes sense.
But if you're trying to train yourself to breathe with this belly breath, lying down is actually perfect. I want you to take a couple books or your cat or whatever's, you know, close to you, put it on your belly, and on the inhale, it should rise, and on the exhale, it should fall. So that's actually a perfect way to start training yourself to breathe this way, because usually we do breathe with our bellies, with our diaphragm, when we're lying down.
I'm just taking a shot in the dark here. Would the most difficult way to train yourself is when you're standing up? Is that
exactly
your tendency is
exactly.
to raise your shoulders then?
Yes. Well, the tendency is the first thing that happens is you suck in your gut. So if you have a gut, you suck it in. And if you're really thin, you might just brace your body. But one of the things that's really hurting us right now is the bracing of the middle or the sucking in of the gut. And that comes from a few different places. Number one is that when you brace your middle, you feel like you're ready for anything. You feel like you can run or fight, but it is just the stance of being prepared for anything that might come your way. And the world is a scary place. So being braced in the middle and ready to go is a posture that actually feels good to us. So the problem is that we never let go. So we're in that posture, bracing our middles all the time, and then we wonder why we have acid reflux. So that bracing stance is hurting us. The sucking it in. I mean, I have so many people that I say, stop sucking it in. You actually need to expand and contract. It's going to make your core stronger when you let your belly go and then you squeeze it on the exhale. Just bracing it all the time isn't making you strong. It's actually making the breath go to the top of your body, which is then making you anxious. So let your belly go on the inhale and then squeeze it on the exhale. You'll end up with a much stronger core and pelvic floor and all kinds of wonderful things. And you'll be able to get rid of that acid reflux as well. So it's, you know, it's really much more complicated than just inhale and exhale, and the repercussions are fantastic.
Is it ever too late to do this? You say most human beings haven't been breathing correctly since they were 5 or 6 years old. What if you're in your 40s or 50s? Is it too late to change?
Absolutely. It's never too late to change. Never, never too late to change. And honestly, as someone who's in their 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, however old you are, the number one thing you can do for your health that costs nothing is make sure that you're exhaling well and that your thoracic cavity, your rib cage, is flexible. Because most of the problems that happen to older adults that are related to health aren't natural aging problems. They come because you're not exhaling well. So the number one health problem that older adults have is based in the fact that you don't exhale well. You end up having a lot of residual air in your body. So then you're always gasping for air and wondering why you can't get a deep breath. And it's actually that your exhale isn't good and that your rib cage is too rigid.
A question occurs to me because obviously I talk. That's part of my job. I talk professionally, and I also sing on an amateur basis. And in both those cases, I was taught to use the diaphragm, you know, to use the diaphragm to support your voice, whether you're reading news or whether you're singing. Does this have any effect? Is that something that I've got to worry about if I'm trying to change the way I breathe?
No, except for I would actually want to see if you're actually using your diaphragm, because so many people that say, oh, I sing, I do yoga, I look at them and they think they're using their diaphragm, but there's actually no movement going on.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that I teach you how to do in the book, which is about, you know, about measuring exactly where your diaphragm is and seeing if you're moving it, if you're inhaling and you're actually using your diaphragm and you're actually exhaling and your body's narrowing without your shoulders. So if you're actually inhaling and your body is expanding but your shoulders are going up, then you're still breathing with your shoulders. So that's something that I teach you how to do. However, what's important for you and for me as well is that when you talk for a living, your exhale is audible. So you're actually using the air to be able to speak. And the problem nowadays is that we go from talking to each other to talking on the phone to talking to people around us. To, like, we're constantly talking, and which means that we never close our mouth and breathe through our nose and take a time to breathe that's simply for the breath rather than for talking.
You've been, to me at least, this has been very easy to understand, the conversations we've been having here. Is your book, the step-by-step program, the same way? It's not real complex or anything? It's not going to be over our heads?
Thank you for asking that. And it's not, I'm a simple creature. It's not going to be over your head at all. But because my degree is in child psych, I actually will explain things in a way that makes sense. And I actually pride myself in being able to explain something in a way that is kinesthetically understandable, that you will understand the movement, that it will make so much sense that you'll say, this is so simple, how come no one has said this before? And it always makes me so proud when someone says that, because it means that I've actually explained it in the way that makes sense. And that to me is such success when someone says, well, I feel like I knew this before, or this is so simple, why hasn't anyone said this? And that's the way I like explaining things. It's so that it really resonates with you of, wow, this feels so natural, or of course this makes sense.
If you make a conscious effort to improve, to change, does it become a good habit? Can you start to do it without thinking about it?
So much easier than any other bad habit out there. So, for instance, any other bad habit you have, and, you know, I have a few as well, you're going against the grain of what you want to do. So, for instance, I love chocolate. Trying to get myself not to eat chocolate throughout the day is really tough. I have a whole bunch of bad habits of misplacing keys, not putting tops on things, you know, often throwing my sweats on, all kinds of things. We don't want to go through that list. But not doing those things is hard because you have to go against what you'd like to do. What's interesting with the breathing is that you used to breathe really well, and somewhere in your body, it still remembers it. And your body wants to breathe with the diaphragm. The diaphragm is this enormous muscle in the middle of your body. It's the size of a large frisbee. It's really a skirt steak that's a frisbee in the middle of your body. And it wants to move. It wants to expand your body on the inhale and narrow it on the exhale. So you're really just letting your body do something that it was designed to do that it wants to. So in the beginning, you'll have this sensation of, wow, this feels so peculiar. And then as you continue doing it, you'll say, this actually feels really natural and makes a lot of sense. So it's probably one of the easiest bad habits to break and one of the easiest good habits to acquire.
You mentioned this is a 14-day program?
Yes. So some people can pick it up immediately. It's sort of interesting to see the differences. And others, it will take at the most 14 days if you put your mind really to it.
Well,
so what you'll find is that you will get obsessed with the breath once you start doing it, and you'll actually start looking at other people and at yourself and at your cat again. And 14 days is what you need to commit to be able to change things. But at the very least, you will never breathe as badly as you did before. You've either listened to me or skimmed the book, for sure.
Well, I mentioned that not because I thought it was too long. I think it's amazing that anybody should be able to focus on this for 2 weeks, for goodness sakes, it would seem, anyway.
And it's right under your nose.
Our time is gone. I could go on forever here. Do you have a website, Dr. Belisa, where more information would be available?
I do. It's called The Breathing Class. And I teach every once in a while. I have a class coming up in New York City on November 12th. And you can find all the information you need on The Breathing Class. My Instagram and Twitter is Dr. Belisa, straight through. And thank you so much for having me, Dave. It was a real pleasure.
Sure. The author of Breathe, Dr. Belisa Varanich. Thanks, Doctor. Nice to talk with you today. Thanks much.
Thank you.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 00. The pick 3, 698. The pick 4, 7174. The pick 5, 25332. The wild ball for each of those is 4. The treasure hunt, 1, 3, 18, 23, and 28. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $80,000.
Coming up on tomorrow's It's Your Turn program, we talk about polio tomorrow. Guest from the Polio Survivors Network, and we'll talk about World Polio Day coming up just a week or so, as a matter of fact. Also tomorrow, junk food with Dr. Joel Furman. And we've got more for you as well. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 here on It's Your Turn on WISR.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, where local news is number one with the expanded report on